On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What I just always share with people, Jenna, is like, look, if you have a vision for your life, it's your duty and responsibility to protect the vessel needed to execute the vision. We only get one vessel, right? And so we want to make sure that we are mentally and physically well for the journey.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a 7-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. If you listen to the Gold Digger Podcast, you know that I love meeting new people. And today's interview is with someone I have been dying to meet for literal years. I got to meet today's guest at a mastermind last year, and I instantly knew we needed to get her onto the show. She's named by Success Magazine as one of the top 25 influential leaders in personal development. Her name is Patrice Washington, and she is a conscious thought leader, an award-winning podcaster, author, a sought-after media personality, renowned transformational speaker, and hope-restoring and tough love coach on the PBS TV series Opportunity Knocks. I also have an epic text thread with her and a few other women from the mastermind, and I am just in love with her. She is the founder of Redefining Wealth. Patrice has built this thriving international community of purpose-driven individuals who are committed to creating a powerful life by weaving together the aspects of their careers, home, health, and personal finance. Through her teachings and intuitive guidance, Patrice empowers her international community to look at life through this lens of abundance and opportunity instead of lack and scarcity. And that's exactly what she is teaching us today. You're about to sit in on a workshop with Patrice about her 6-pillar approach to prosperity, where personal development, spiritual growth, and personal finance success converge to create a roadmap for your ultimate success. This conversation is so powerful. I cannot wait for you to tune in. Patrice Washington, welcome to the Gold Digger Podcast. Okay, real talk. Are skinny jeans out or are they in? My friends and I continue to have this debate, and it just goes to show that trends come and go and come back again. And the same goes for marketing strategies. Like, who can even keep up? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is an all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's honestly so much more. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. This report will give you all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning into next year. So friend, do not get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/state of marketing to get your free copy of the report today. That's HubSpot.com/state of marketing. We're going to dive right in, Patrice. So much of the financial information that is coming at us is, let's be honest, coming from white, wealthy men. What is something that you keep hearing these financial quote experts share about that you disagree with?
One thing.
Yeah, right.
We can start with the one thing.
Yes.
I would say not sharing with people that any personal finance journey you go on is really 80% mindset and behavior, and it's only 20% skill set. And so when we shame people for not having this concrete skill set stuff, it doesn't really support their journey at all, because truly, foundationally, there is no personal finance success without personal development. That's something that I've had to learn over these last almost two decades in supporting people with personal finance. I went back to school to get an MBA in financial psychology and behavioral finance, because there's a missing link. If you want to keep talking to people about personal finance, but you don't talk to them about all the parts of their life that impacts their finances, even when they're not thinking about it, they will always experience failure after failure. Even people who achieve great financial success, at some point, it has to become about sustainability. You can hit it, but can you keep it? And so if we don't cultivate the entire person, then we just lose and we have to keep starting over and over and over. So I would say that's one big thing that really has my attention in this season.
I think this is such a powerful place to start, because so much of financial advice out there is so focused on the skill set. And it's like, just conquer this skill set, just learn this and become an expert in this skill set. But you're so right. If you don't have the mindset to back it up, your default is not going to be leveraging these skill sets. It's going to be going back to what you know and where you come from. I think that's so powerful.
I mean, every single time. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. Many of us are simply on autopilot. We are doing the things that we learned, most of us in childhood and in adolescence, and a lot of the lessons that we learned just because of where our parents were from or what their experience was, or any adult that had influence over us. We're doing the same things that they're doing, even though we may have, you know, achieved greater education or greater employment. We still find ourselves going back to those cycles of paycheck to paycheck, or making really rash decisions, or making very emotional decisions. And when you don't address that, you can't really change anything. I always say, you can't recondition what you don't recognize. And when you're on autopilot, it's essentially saying you're asleep at the wheel of your life. You don't even recognize that your habits and behaviors are unsupportive of the things that you say you want. And as long as you stay out of alignment, you're out of alignment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Tell me how you got to this place. Did you always think you would become this expert with finance? Like, how did you arrive where we are today?
Okay. No 5-year-old is like, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I want to be a financial psychologist. Like, nobody is ever saying anything like that. No, yeah. You know, I'm first generation American. You know, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles in an area called Lemur Park, not the best neighborhood. And Jenna, when I was 6, 7, you know, years old, I used to tell my family, I don't belong here. Like, I got to do something. I knew as a very little kid that there was just more. And so I was always in search of the more. I always felt a great sense of purpose. And so I was very intentional about getting good grades, going to the University of Southern California. I thought education was the key to everything. I did all of the things. I followed all of the steps, graduated with honors, started a real estate and mortgage brokerage at 22 years old, and literally thought I had hit it. And then 26 years old, the 7-figure business that I built went belly up in the recession. And I literally went from 7 figures to scraping up change. By then, I was a new mother. I actually was in the hospital on bed rest. I fell down the stairs at 20 weeks pregnant and led me into preterm labor. I was in the hospital for 10 weeks, watching the banks that I work with close down day by day by day. And then my daughter was born 10 weeks prematurely at 30 weeks. Everything that I thought I had done the right way, right? And all the steps I followed came to a head in 2008 when I literally lost everything and had to start over. And I had what I would call a come to Jesus moment, a deep bathroom floor moment where I had just chased the power man down with my baby on my hips, begging them to turn the lights back on. Or my daughter's milk would spoil. And I went back, he's now my ex-husband, my husband at the time, took my daughter on a walk. And I remember just getting in the mirror and going, God, why me? Like, I've been a good person. I did what they said to do, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, start a business, something. I followed all the steps. I feel like I've been a good person. What the hell is happening? And I went from asking God, why me, to just crying, to ugly crying to sobbing until your face is like unrecognizable, and ended up on the bathroom floor in fetal position. And I heard what I refer to as a still small voice, but I got this nudge internally that was like, get your Bible. And there was a scripture, Proverbs 17:16. It said, what good is money in the hands of a fool if they have no desire to seek wisdom? And it was something about that scripture. What good is money in the hands of a fool if they have no desire to seek wisdom? It's why my name on Instagram is Seek Wisdom.
Yes.
BCW. It's that reminder that this journey is about seeking wisdom. It's not about necessarily collecting all the knowledge and information. And I never knew those were two different things until that day. I looked it up. Knowledge is information and education. And going back to your original question, the reason that a lot of traditional personal finance education doesn't necessarily work is because it thinks that if you stuff information down people's throats, they're just supposed to all of a sudden know what to do with it. Wisdom is knowing how to apply it, when to apply it, where to apply it, with whom to apply it. They are not the same. And that scripture and that moment changed everything for me, because I'm like, all this time I've been gathering information. No one truly taught me that there was a bigger picture for how you implement, and that my whole life needed to be supporting what I said I wanted, right? I'm just over here chasing money. This is why the mantra of redefining wealth is chase purpose, not money, right? Mm. That doesn't mean that we don't make money. Like, I make money, but I'm not run by money. And I don't make every decision around what I do in my life from the lens of, well, how much is it going to cost, or how much am I going to make? I make integrity, faith-based choices, right? And so I've been passionate about this now since 2009. March 9, 2009 is when I had that bathroom floor moment. And ever since, I've just been committed to helping other people understand that there's a much more holistic approach to this. And it's really how I rebuilt my life and then rebuilt another seven-figure business.
What did you do from that bathroom moment and with that new kind of lens of wisdom? Walk me through that path. Because I think a lot of people have had those moments, though they might look different, right? Mm-hmm. Of like those moments of like, is this it? Is this what I'm doing? Is this my purpose? Is there more? How did you kind of follow that path, kind of down uncharted territory into what you're doing today?
Now, when I look back, what I recognize that I was doing was learning to trust my own intuition. Mm. Like a big piece of all of that was I had the audacity in one of my most broken and broke moments to still believe that I should share this with people. Like, think about that. I'm facing eviction notices. I have had a foreclosure now. I went from a 6,000 square foot home in California to living in a 600 square foot apartment in Metairie, Louisiana, right? I'm riding dirty, meaning I don't have any car insurance. I'm making decisions between, do I get milk or do I pay this bill? Literally, this was my life, 2008, 2009. And I have this experience. And then all of a sudden, I feel this thing in my belly that's like, you should share. Now, I have to tell you, my first grade teacher, Ms. Boynton, told me when I was 6 years old, Ms. Cunningham, when you know something, you have a responsibility to share with friends. It's not enough that you just know it and that you are the know-it-all in the class. You have to share with friends. So since first grade, I always had this idea that if I knew something, it was my responsibility to teach. It's how I built my original business in the first place. It was teaching people. And so that kicked in and it led to me starting my first blog maybe a day or two later. And it's still up to this day. For those who want to fact check, it is the ugliest thing in the world because I knew nothing about nothing. I owned a brick and mortar company. I had never done anything online. I had just heard of the term blog some weeks before. And I was like, maybe that's a way. You know, I started that free blog spot. It's seekwisdomfindwealth.blogspot.com. And it is ugly. It is scrappy. It is like, I just had to start. Right. Yeah. But I started blogging every week and just wanting to share. And I really didn't think anyone was paying attention because my mom and my husband at the time, they weren't even reading. And I was like, well, if they're not reading, who the hell's going to pay attention? And I stopped doing it. I got discouraged after several months. I got discouraged and I stopped for a few weeks. And then a strange man reached out to me in my then Yahoo email account. And he said, hey, I hope you're well. I've been enjoying your blog. Jenna, I didn't know how to read the back end. Like, I knew how to publish the things, but I didn't understand analytics. I didn't know that people had been commenting and I needed to approve the comments. I didn't know anything. And I say that now because what I've learned is an audience of one is still an audience. I wish I could get in that old Yahoo account somewhere and reach out to that man and thank him, because from there, it encouraged me that maybe my mom and my husband were not my audience, but there were other people out there who resonated with what I was trying to do. So I got back to blogging. It turned into me writing for a few magazines like Black Enterprise and Upscale Magazine. And then one of my articles went viral. I was invited to go on a radio show. Next thing I know, I ended up, you know, by 2014, I was the personal finance voice of the Steve Harvey nationally syndicated radio show. That turned into me like writing my first books. I now have 5 books and my own podcast, Redefining Wealth, you know, and we eat like all the things, but it came from that one internal nudge that said, you should share this with other people. It was scrappy. It was ugly. It was imperfect. It was all the things, but it was the sincere desire of my heart to help other people. And that has been the sincere desire of my heart this entire time. Yeah.
Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best. You're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/gold to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/gold. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. I love this so much because I think something has shifted, especially in recent years, where people are so afraid to be seen as a beginner. It's like this weird thing where it's like, when I think back, because I was very similar timing when I started my own blog, and same thing, like trying to figure out HTML coding and how to make a sidebar look pretty and all these things. And, you know, it's so interesting because I think that this, somebody listening today that hasn't started yet, they have to take that audacious spirit that we had at the beginning of like, this isn't going to be pretty, but I'm going to put it out there. And I think social media has shifted that a lot for people, where it's like they want to be seen when they have it all figured out and have it all together. So they're never seen because they're not going to show up. No one has it all figured out. No one has it all together. What was a big thing for you when you started to figure out like, wait, I have my own approach? Because as we said at the beginning, there's so much information out there, right? Like we can take other people's information and regurgitate it in different ways, but like you started to develop some really impressive frameworks and approaches. What did that look like for you?
Well, it didn't come until I had my Boulder moment. So let me take a step back.
Let's talk about that.
So I was known for a brand called Real Money Answer. So all the things happened from 2009. By 2014, I did my first interview on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. They asked me to come back weekly. And then that turned into a regular spot on Dr. Oz. And, you know, now I'm in Cosmopolitan. I'm Spreads in Essence Magazine. All of these things are happening. And it's beautiful. But also internally, I have this little whisper that's like, this is not quite what you were committing to when you were on the bathroom floor. Because the other thing that I learned, not just the difference between knowledge and wisdom, that was also the first time that I really researched the definition of wealth. And I didn't stop at the surface level definition, which the first one we typically see is an abundance of material possessions and money, right? Material possessions and money. And I kept like digging and digging and digging and realized the original 12th century definition was the condition of well-being and happiness. That's what wealth actually means. We've layered stuff on and basically said, well, when you have stuff, you'll feel well. But many of us have experienced getting the stuff that we thought would make us happy, and then we did not feel happy, right? And so reflecting way back in 2009, I was like, I want to do this differently this time. But this was an internal thing to me. I was doing the blog and doing the things, but on myself, I was experimenting with all the things. So that's when, you know, my meditation practice really got into place. That's when I started to really take more of my physical fitness seriously. That's when there were just so many things that I started to do personally. Now, mind you, I just said I started to attract all of these opportunities. I really didn't pitch much at this time. It was literally all of these serendipitous things happening where someone would say, oh, I saw your work and we'd love you to do this, right? So I was starting to attract all these things, but I didn't know what to call it. And then as my career grew and I became more and more known as America's Money Maven, it became budgets, credit reports, debt elimination, all of the skill set stuff that I had learned and that has been regurgitated over and over again. But in my private life, I was doing all of this other stuff. So people were seeing the public success and assuming that privately it was about, oh, she's really working on her credit. It's like, how much can you do with that? Like, you got to work on your character, like not just credit. Yep. You can't just work on your budget. You have to work on your behavior. You can't just work on money. You have to be shifting your mindset daily. Like there's so many other things that I was doing in my real life. So I'm on the Dr. Oz show in 2016, and the whole concept is like, we're going to help people save on their groceries. And while I'm really grateful to be on the Dr. Oz show, I'm also like, I don't want to do this. Yeah. You know, it's like, this is like, I believe that there's so many other things, and that still small voice said, but you're not saying it. You're not saying it. You're going from stage to stage. You're getting on platform after platform. You're on the radio every week. Why aren't you saying the stuff you really do? That was the pebble. Then the rock was there was like so many things that happened, Jetta, like back to back. You know, I was pretty disobedient. You know, when you're like, oh, I should do this. Your spirit says something, but then you're like, oh, I'm too busy to follow it.
Yeah.
Well, a series of things happened. The boulder came when my site was hacked. And all of my files were literally corrupted and deleted. When I talked to the hosting company, they're like, you sound like a nice woman. This is one of the worst hacks we've ever seen internally. That was the boulder. It was one of the boulders. I had already had my, someone else was trying to get me to abandon my trademark, a bigger company who I think knew I existed for a long time. But then when I got big, they were like, oh, we got to shut her down. So all these things happen. And I'm like, shoot. Okay. And my attorney goes, is there anything else you could do? Like, do we have to keep trying to force this issue?
Can we pivot again, please?
Can we pivot? And I finally sat down and I was like, I just want to help people redefine wealth for themselves. Mm. I want people to stop feeling like wealth has to be a certain dollar amount, or you have to have a certain type of business, or when really you might experience this feeling of well-being and happiness, like at any level.
Yeah.
I've had moments where I wasn't making that much, but I was super happy because it was aligned and I was just able to do the things I needed to do. And I was like, what if we all just redefine wealth for ourselves? Yeah. And it was like, boom. And in 2017, I did the full pivot. Everything came down. I stopped everything. I like shortly after launching the Redefining Wealth podcast in September of 2017, by around April of 2018, I left the Steve Harvey Show because I didn't want to keep getting sucked back in. And I love them. I'm so grateful for the 4 years I had there. But there was something in my spirit that said, those people stumble upon you, but where you're going, people are searching for something and they need it in the way that you deliver it. And so I took inventory of everything I had done from 2009 to about 2016. This is 7 years. And I was like, what are the things that really move the needle? And backtrack and look. And from there, the six pillars of wealth were born. And I tested it before I actually launched. I also worked with several private clients and used it in some of my group coaching programs. And people started to have phenomenal success and really get back to who they were authentically as well. And that's where it was born.
I love that story. I hate that that happened to you. I think that's people's greatest fear of like, what if it was all gone tomorrow? But there's also some sort of beauty of like, what is worth rebuilding, right? Like,
yeah,
you really have to face that question of like, if I'm starting over again, what am I taking with me and what do I have permission to leave behind? And while it's a terrifying thought, it also was absolutely a blessing in disguise. Walk me through. Okay. I am obsessed with your six pillar approach to prosperity. And I want people to start paying attention to this because we've had a lot of financial experts come on this show and no one has ever talked about this with such a holistic perspective, right? Because like you said, we often think of wealth as the accumulation of things and money. And I do believe it goes hand in hand and you can have a rich life in many different ways, right? Mm-hmm. So walk me through the pillars because I think that this is going to be really powerful for our listeners.
Yeah. So the first pillar begins with the fit pillar. It's about becoming your best self. And what I just always share with people, Jenna, is like, look, if you have a vision for your life, it's your duty and responsibility to protect the vessel needed to execute the vision. We only get one vessel, right? And so we want to make sure that we are mentally and physically well for the journey. That encompasses so many things. I always say, look, it's not about a dress size or a number on the scale, because I have looked thin, like two people, and been completely unhealthy, like huffing and puffing, going up the stairs, exhausted all the time, all of the things. But also, you know, I grew up feeling very ugly. I was the ugly duckling in my family, right? Well, according to some of my family members. And I think about how had I not gone to therapy at 22 years old and dealt with that childhood trauma, look at what I've been called to do, right? I'm on stages in front of thousands of people. My face is on books. I'm on national television. What if I didn't go and deal with that childhood trauma? It could have definitely just blocked me from the wealth that I desired because I'd be too afraid to show up. So sometimes we're praying for things that we don't have the mental capacity to actually sustain yet. And I think it's very important because we live in a time where people are jumping around from program to program and coach to coach, and they're always looking for the magic bullet. And really, it's probably something rooted in an experience you had many years ago that is just, it just keeps manifesting in doubt and self-criticism and not going for the thing. Sometimes you don't need another marketing course. You need to deal with why you keep trying to hide, even when you're brilliant, right? So that's the fit pillar. That's like the foundation of it. The people pillar is about creating relationships that matter personally and professionally. I always say, I don't want to be a public success and a private failure. And I had an experience once where I was on tour. I was going from college to college. All these young girls were coming up to me. Oh my gosh, Miss Patrice, I love you. And then I get home and my daughter's calling me the nanny's name because she's used to telling the nanny everything. This is several years ago, right? And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is not, that doesn't actually feel good to me. And when I focused on being more present in her presence and our relationship really solidified, then I could go out and actually have more confidence and be present in my work because I knew my home life was taken care of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when we're kind of half-assing it in every place, it's really hard. And I learned over the years that there's always someone watching you who has the power to bless you, but who are they watching you be? Like, how do we show up with our team members, with our clients, with, you know, with the people we're already engaged with? I really believe, and I know you have a lot of entrepreneurs listening, especially new entrepreneurs. Can we stop saying that we want more followers when we don't even engage the ones we have now?
On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can we just keep it real? Like, you want more people to ignore? That's whack, right? Because so much of what I've built has really come from other people saying, I vouch for you. I'm an advocate for you. You made me feel this way. And I didn't even know who they were, what they did. It's just, I treat everyone with the same level of kindness and respect and integrity, right? So the people pillar has been very instrumental. And I also think the people that we're around dictate the language that we use. Yes. I'm around people like in our group chat, right? I'm around people who use the language that I desire, who are not afraid to say the things. The people that you're around are going to dictate what type of financial life you have. It's just, it is what it is, right? So that's people pillar. Space pillar. The space pillar is about setting up your life to support you. I know you are so big on space. Yes. It's not just about beautifying things, though. It's about really understanding that the clutter that we deal with really blocks our energy and our creativity. And clutter is, we call it the physical manifestation of chaos in your mind. So typically when you find yourself really stuck in something, especially as it pertains to your money, my invitation to you is to take a look around your physical space and look at what represents that stuckness, right?
Yes.
Like when I was writing my first book, I was doing it in a guest room that was like half where laundry gets folded or just lives for a while.
We all have one of those.
You know, one of those, like it was like where all the Amazon packages go to die, like all the things. And I looked around that room one day, Jenna, and I said, is this the space of a best-selling author?
Yeah.
Is this what I would expect when I think about the authors that I love reading their work, right? Do I imagine them writing in a space that looks and feels like this? I got my ass up, cleaned it up, turned it over, told everybody how to respect it, how to treat it, how to honor that space. And my first book was written there, right? And that led to so many, you know, other things and other opportunities. So space is very big for us. And I'm doing this new thing where I'm teaching people in the Institute for Redefining Wealth based on their pillar, the pillar that they feel like they need support with. I'm guiding them through what are three things they can clean up immediately, right? To help them have clarity in that space. And that's kind of a new thing we're doing. I'm super excited about it. But that's the space pillar. Then there's the faith pillar, believing in something greater. I don't care what you say you believe in, but make time to practice it. It's just, you know, I just kind of feel like this journey is so, it can be so hard in so many different ways. And you have to be resilient. And I think most people don't hit the financial goals that they desire because they give up too quickly. And that's just because we don't have anything to sustain us. I truly believe that nothing is happening to us. A lot of things are happening for us, but that's what I choose to believe. And because I choose to believe that, it allows me to look for either the lesson or the blessing. I take no L's in life. I take no L's. There are no losses. The only L's I get are lessons. I take the lesson. So what, now what? And I move on. And that's a part of me having really strong faith practices that keep me aligned and rooted in that. Right. Which is, I think, also how I was able to get off the bathroom floor and just like, OK, let's keep going. So that's the faith pillar. The sixth is the work pillar. It's about living your life's purpose. I don't believe that people follow their passion and the money will come. I absolutely despise that. I hate it. I hate that because there's a lot of things you can be passionate about, but you're not necessarily proficient in. I love to sing in the shower. Love to sing in the shower. I will sing Whitney and Mariah and all the girls down in the shower. No one will ever want to pay me to sing. I am passionate about it. I'm not proficient with it. And I think it's time for us to, you know, just become a collective of people who honor our own natural God-given gifts. I say God-given, but whatever that, however that occurs to you, what are the things you're just naturally good at? And like allowing yourself to embrace them and use them, because passion is what energizes and excites you. And that's wonderful. You want to be passionate about what you're doing. But purpose is, how do you become of service to others? So when you can marry the passion and the purpose, it's a beautiful place to be. A lot of people don't give themselves enough time to sit with their gifts and to utilize them so that they can see the blessing it can be. Because once you see that, it invokes more passion. It invokes fulfillment. It gets you excited. Here's what I know to be true. And this is from my financial psychology hat. When you are unfulfilled in the work that you do day in and day out, you are going to mismanage your finances because you're constantly trying to fill a void.
Yep.
The void is typically filled when we are of service. When we're of service and we know how we're using our gifts, that void starts to shrink. But it opens up deeper and deeper when we're only doing things for the money.
Yep.
And it's just unfulfilling, right? So that's the fifth pillar, work pillar. And the last one is money. It's about attracting the prosperity you desire. And I just have a really big emphasis on honoring where you are, right? Even small denominations, honor where you are, learn how to respect money, learn how to have a healthy appreciation for what money is. And we have tons of, you know, exercises and things around this. But when you start to do those things, as the denomination grows, you already have built the muscle on what to do. It's not that when I hit six figures, now all of a sudden I'll be wise with money. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, now I made more. So now I'm going to save. It's like, no, even if you have to start with, I'm saving a dollar a week. What you're doing is just building the muscle and declaring for yourself, I am a saver. You're embodying that as like who you are. So then as the money increases, it's not foreign to you to do the right things with it. And so again, back to your original thing, you know, a lot of historical personal finance education has guilt tripped and shamed people into making very rash, stringent, and I mean, really deep financial skill set things when they were not prepared relationally, mentally, physically, environmentally, emotionally to actually sustain that and keep that going. And so that's why you see people on these waves. But when you do all of the other work in the pillars, you're ready to do what you need to do with the money because you're not looking for external validation. You're not still dealing with the same level of childhood trauma, or at least now you know how to manage it, right? You're making choices that feel good for you and are authentic to you. And that's what the six pillars of wealth framework does. And I know it's a lot. We have a cheat sheet. I'll give Jenna the link.
Yeah, so no, it's so, I love it and appreciate it because I think that so many people, when they even hear the word wealth, they have some visceral reaction to it, right? Like, they either want it, they hate it, they're afraid of it, they desire it. Like there's some, it's such a charged thing that we often try to approach. And what I think is so powerful about having these pillars is that you can start to strengthen muscles in areas that maybe you don't have such a deep emotional charge with. And as you strengthen them, you shift the identity. And I think you just said something so powerful because there's so much with identity and mindset and the stories we tell ourselves around money. And like you just said, if you started saving $1 a week and now you're saying, I am a saver, I am a person who saves, and that becomes a piece of your identity, everything can shift. And so with the pillars, if somebody's listening, there was probably one of the pillars that you brought up that immediately gave them like that, oh, I got to tighten that up, or I got to work on that, or I got to address that thing that I've been ignoring. And I think it's beautiful because you can kind of move through those pillars and strengthen all these different facets of your life that will give you that rich life as you start to work on that money mindset. What tips would you say, Patrice, if somebody was listening and they kind of had that like guttural moment of like, oop, that's the one I got to focus on. Like, where do they begin, or what does that even look like?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you for the radical honesty and just acknowledging like, I need to do something there. Because I believe that when we feel that frustration, it's just an invitation to take inventory. And we can kind of support you, not kind of, we support you through that at the Redefining Wealth podcast and the Institute for Redefining Wealth, because we start with a quiz. And the quiz really is about which pillar do you really need to start the work in? And then I give like a bunch of lessons, 10 to 12 lessons about things that you can do, practical things in your everyday life that you can start to do to clear that up and to clean that out. And it's different for each of us. It's an, it's a individual journey, right? I say I create 12 lessons or so, but you may only need two. But I think it's up to the individual, Jenna, to seek wisdom. It's like to acknowledge first, to recognize I need support in this area. And then what can I recondition? What resonates with where I am, if I'm being radically honest? And also partnering that with what is your financial vision for your life? When you think about where you want to be 12 months from now, 3 years from now, I just heard your episode about 5 years, how you've evolved over 5 years now, right? So if we think about, well, where do I want to be in 2 years? You can use the pillars as a framework to say, who do I need to become in each one of these areas? Because if you start just working on random stuff, you'll make a lot of progress, but you'll climb up the wrong ladder again. And so you'll achieve things, but they won't matter to the bigger vision, which then leads you to feel unfulfilled and incongruent. So we really start with what's the vision, and then asking yourself the question, who will I need to become in this pillar in order to really see that vision come to life? And then get to work. It's not enough to know it. Then you have to own it. Because if you only know it and you do nothing about it, it leads to even more frustration. And I think that's why sometimes we're not honest with ourselves.
I mean, this whole conversation is just so rich in that we're really talking about not just information, but the application of it and really figuring that out. And I think that for so many people, there's so much guilt and shame around money. And it's because they've had the information, but they haven't known how to apply it, right? And so it's like, well, clearly it's a me problem, because everyone else, it's working for everybody else and they're figuring it out. And so I love the focus on application, because there are so many different ways that you can apply all these tools and strategies that in their own right, they're not terrible. I mean, they're not really going to hurt you, but I think there's not enough help in the actual application, which I think is like your superpower. It's taking someone exactly as they are, where they are at, and saying, all right, here's the next step. And then here's the next one. And that person gets confidence in the follow through, in the shifting of their identity. I think there's something so powerful when we see ourselves following through on something, we become someone totally different and our belief about ourselves shifts. And I just, you are such a super woman in doing that for other people and allowing them to like celebrate their wins. Like you're just like this like perfect assistant of like, here you go. And now you get to do this. This is yours. And it's so amazing.
Yeah, because it's their individual journey. You know, I always tell people I didn't create you. So I'm not your manufacturer. I don't have the manual on what you should do. But what I do have is a lot of experience and knowledge and expertise after now coaching hundreds of people through this framework. And if not, we're probably in the thousands at this point. But, you know, it really just comes down to helping you learn the process for how you process your own life, so that you can experience everything that you say you desire. And we're just really big on getting off autopilot and being radically honest about not only what's no longer serving us, but also what we truly desire and then getting the guts to go after it. And while most of my clients, yeah, they're focused on their financial improvement, people's lives are changing in the process. Yeah. Their lives can't help to change. I just recently ran into someone who has been through a few of our programs and been with us for about 3 years in the community. And her husband gave me the biggest hug, Jenna. And he said, thank you for giving me my wife back and giving me a better version of her than I've ever seen. They've been married for like 16, 17 years or something like that. But the hug that he gave me, and I'm like, she's doing the work. And he's like, but she trusts your space and your community. Like, and she's doing it. And I'm like, that is so humbling, because to think about being on that bathroom floor in 2009, I had no idea. I had no idea that all of these things would happen, but I'm so grateful because I'm not perfect. I'm completely imperfect and yet being used perfectly for what I was called to do. And I just, I really, really, I'm just really grateful.
Patrice, where can everybody find you and connect with your work and learn more and take the quiz? I think taking the quiz is the perfect next step for any listener out there, just to get clarity on which pillar to start with. And again, that's just that starting point. But where can we get all of your amazing resources?
Yeah, you can take the quiz at patricewashington.com/quiz. And of course, you can download the Redefining Wealth app. So excited about that. We have purpose chasers from all over the world, literally working through the pillars together. And there's a lot of exciting and exclusive things I do for purpose chasers who are just in the app. And so you can download it on any Apple or Android device. And you can find it at redefiningwealth.app.
Amazing. And your podcast and your Instagram. Tell me those.
Yes. The podcast is the Redefining Wealth podcast. You can listen to it on your favorite podcast, wherever you're listening to the Gold Digger podcast.
Yes.
Just go on ahead and also subscribe to Redefining Wealth. And on Instagram, I am Seek Wisdom PCW. Make sure you tell me that you heard me on Gold Digger.
That's right.
Jenna sent you, so I can text her and harass her every single time.
Oh, your texts are the best harassment I ever get. Patrice, in closing, if somebody's listening and they have recognized with our conversation today that they need to redefine wealth for themselves, what is something that they can do today to do that?
I think celebrate that you've already acknowledged that you need to do something. Very often, we won't even acknowledge it because we're afraid of what has to come next. And just you acknowledging it is such a brilliant first step. And then coming over, taking the quiz, acknowledging which pillar you should start with. Baby steps, but those things are huge.
Oh my gosh. Patrice, thank you so much for coming on the Gold Digger podcast. I've been trying to get you for years. So this is a dream come true. I love you so much.
For me too.
Are you thinking about wealth in an entirely new way? I know I am after today's conversation. I absolutely adore Patrice and the way that she talks about wealth and what a truly rich life looks like, and that it's going to look different for each and every single one of us. And today, I hope you identified a pillar where you can start doing some of the work so that you can become the person that you are envisioning in your life. I love getting to have amazing conversations, and I love even more that you got to tune in to today's show. Thank you so much for spending some time with the Gold Digger podcast. If you haven't yet, take a moment to subscribe, leave a review and a rating. It means the world to me. I read them every single week, and it just really helps inspire me to continue to show up week after week with incredible guests like Patrice. Thank you so much for listening to the Gold Digger podcast. Of course, until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for Gold Diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.